It's good to be here. So for those who don't know me, we were in the church for, 3 years? Oh, I was in the church 3 years last year and the 3 years before that. So I'm married Stu and he's from here and we moved to Norway in January. So we've been living in Norway for the past 6 months. And God is really moving in our lives and we really feel it's the right season for us. I really feel God's presence here today, and I think I want us to explain to you what's going on in the room, because I think God is going to touch you where you are today. I'm not going to ask you to come up, I'm not going to ask you to do anything, but I believe God will touch you where you are. So let's just expect that. My topic, if you like, today is unworthiness. And it's been a bit of my journey, really, of feeling worthy, feeling like I am enough. So I will share a little bit about that. But yeah, it started really last week when Stu said to me, "Gina, I want you to speak at Riverside and I want to do worship." So I asked God, "Well, what is it you want me to speak on?" And I was reading a book at the time called The Desire Map by one of my role models, Daniela Laporte. And she said in the book that you are worthy of your desires and that your life reflects how much you value yourself. And she was talking about this, believing you're worthy and claiming that for yourself. And believe me, I've been claiming that to be able to stand here today. And yesterday, I had the most ridiculous opposition. I won't get into it, but I had a lot of different strange experiences yesterday that, you know, as well, I believe God teaches us through opposition. I believe God is saying something in that. And to me, he was saying, "You are worthy." But then I felt, "I'm not worthy." And then he was saying, "You are worthy." And it was like a roller coaster. And I think we go through life like that sometimes. I'll explain to you a little bit more about that. So, Stu, you are worthy of your desires. I'm speaking today. And I wanted to just look around the room and just say, Shine, you are worthy of leadership. Yeah. Becky, I can see you at the back. You are worthy of love, joy, and peace. Jesus, thank you for being here. Thank you for talking to us. So don't be doubtful. This is part of my message. And worry that you won't be fulfilled in life because it didn't go the way that you thought it would. He gives you the desires of your heart when you delight in him. Actually, yesterday, my presentation crashed on my computer. And so all my scriptural references disappeared. So bear with me. I do have a couple of references, but I will just quote the scripture today, more or less. So in 2 Thessalonians 1:11, it says, "With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." I think the vision of this church is quite clear on the wall out there. Arise and shine. Glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And it's by faith, isn't it? Not sight. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And I think knowing it, accepting it for yourself, accepting his truths about you. So what I've learned in simple terms, okay, is that unbelief about who I am leads to discouragement and negativity in my life. But belief in what God says about me, encouragement and positivity. Quite simple, really. So if you're not willing or open to receiving from God, you'll be discouraged. However, if you believe, you will be encouraged. I looked up a definition of being worthy, and I don't really think it's a good definition, if I'm honest, after doing my whole research on it. But it said in the dictionary, showing or having qualities that deserve something. So qualities that you're deserving of something. How can you be deserving of something? You can't. You have to believe that you're deserving, right? Stu doesn't deserve more than I do. I don't deserve more than he does. You'd hope. By the way, I'm so distracted by the flags. I have to say, I just love the flags. And I feel really honored that you put the Norwegian flag up there. And I do want to honor you guys, because you're an amazing example as a married couple to the church. You represent the fullness of God, the two of you. So thank you for leading the church. I just really, really like it. And Norwegians are very proud. If you turn up on the 17th of May, every single Norwegian will have a Norwegian flag. So, yeah. I am going to play you a video because, Becky, you can put it up and I'll tell you when to push play. This is actually Andrew Womack explaining to you body, soul, and spirit. I cannot explain that better myself. And I honor Amanda because she's been speaking to my life and she shared this with me. So this is Amanda's fault. It's 5 minutes and I think you'll enjoy it. So just listen and then we'll get on with the rest of the talk.
Hello, this is Andrew Womack and I'm going to be talking about spirit, soul, and body, which may not sound the most exciting thing to you on the surface, but to me, this is one of the most exciting things that the Lord has ever shown me. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now that is so obvious. We are made up of a spirit, soul, and body. And the body is very obvious. If you go look in a mirror, that's the part that you see. Now, you would be speaking to my soul, which is my mental, emotional part. Some people define soul as your mind, will, and emotions, and I think that that certainly is true. I don't think that it's all-inclusive. There's more to it. I believe that your conscience is a part of your soul. Your soul certainly includes your mental, emotional part. I believe it's what most people call their personality. If I was to touch your physical body, you can feel that. But I can also touch you by words, and it can touch your emotions. It can either make you glad or sad. It can make you angry. You can say words and hurt a person. So the body and the soul are two areas that every one of us are in touch with constantly, but the spirit part of us is a totally different matter. Jesus said this in John chapter 3 when he says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." And there is no direct connection between the two. You cannot, in a physical, natural way, feel your spirit. The spirit cannot be accessed in any natural way, and herein lies one of the great problems in the Christian life. The spirit is the part of us that God communicates with, and the spirit is the part of us that all of the life and the power of God flows through. In James chapter 2, verse 26, The scripture there says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And that just makes it very clear that the life-giving part of you is the spirit. One of the greatest keys to walking with the Lord for me has been to understand this reality of spirit, soul, and body, that the spirit realm cannot be seen or felt. The only way to discern what is spiritual truth is through the Bible, to just take it and believe it. Jesus said this in John chapter 6, verse 63. He says, the flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It's revealing to us spiritual reality. And if you want to know what your spirit is like, then you have to go to God's Word to find it out. You can't just go by an emotion, by some type of perception. You have to go to God's Word. Here's another passage of Scripture in James chapter 1, and in verse 23 it says, for if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. This is talking about a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, talking about God's Word, specifically the revelation of the gospel, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. This passage of Scripture is likening the Bible unto a mirror that you look in to see your spiritual face, to see what you are in the Spirit. You, with your eyes, have never looked directly into your face. You've always looked at a reflection or a representation, but you've gotten to where you trust that. Well, the Word of God is a perfect reflection of what spiritual truth is. You can't sit there and say, well, I think that, you know, all my mascara is on and that my face is fixed, my hair is combed, and I'm ready to go. You can't go by how you feel. You have to go look in that mirror and then you trust what you see. Well, it's the same thing with the Word of God. The Word of God gives you a perfect picture of who you are in your spirit. And it's the only way.
Thank you. Oh, I love that. I think it's just brilliant explanation, and I don't think I could do any better. And the animation is helpful, isn't it, to see the different, really well explained. So that's why I wanted to show that. Isn't that exciting, that you can look at yourself and your spirit, not to yourself and what you believe about yourself, your self-image? Okay, so let me share with you a little bit my story. So when I was 10, this is just my experiences. There's lots of different experiences where I felt unworthy, okay? But this is one that I remembered very vividly. So I went to Sunday school for a time, and I was asked to bring a photograph of myself. And in the Sunday school, we were to write on the photograph, I am worthy, and take it home. So that's what we did, took it home. I had it in my little dressing thing. I just could not stand looking at it. I couldn't stand looking at it because I didn't believe that I was worthy. And I actually felt ashamed, and I felt, you know what, I don't think I want my friends to see this. Because it made me feel like, who am I to say I am worthy? It made me feel like, I suppose I should tell you a little bit about the cultural background of Norway, just very briefly. There's this underlying law that you can't be better than anyone else, and you have to be at everyone else's level. So that obviously impacted me. There was lots of things that impacted me. A few years later, when I went to Bible school, I was in an environment which really led me to face my fears. And for those of you that haven't heard Shine's talk on fear, go and listen to it, because it was amazing. you know, that stopped my growth, really. I was like, this is how far I can go. If I don't deal with these fears and this unworthiness, I'm not going to go anywhere else. I'm going to basically turn around and do something else with my life. So it wasn't until I actually opened up and actually shared with my fellow students what was going on. And it wasn't until then either that I really understood how blind I was of my own pain, like the root of my pain, where it came from. So really, that was very much to do with rejection and unworthiness. And I won't go into all of that because it's not important. What's important is that I could finally see, I could finally experience the freedom that God had for me, because I was able to let go of my fears. We still face this, and I still face this, but it was very important for me to really move forward in my life, and that's what I continue to do. So why did I feel unworthy? I was looking within myself, my soul, right? It's like you see so on the video, my self-image, what other people believed about me. So I didn't feel worthy. I was comparing myself, that I'm not better than anyone else. I was not aware of my new creation in Christ, quite simply, my spirit that really breathes life into me. Okay? So I think last year we had quite a bit on renewing the mind, didn't we? And Keith was quite good at that. He was very good at laying that out. So you should speak to him about that. But really what I've learned about renewing your mind is that you need to persevere and have some discipline and really take God's word for being your truth. Yeah. Turn away from the culture or the memories that you have, that mirror, right? Or the world, if you like. So focusing on what God says about you leads to freedom. And where focus goes, I like to say this, energy flows. Love it. So you need to actually own your story, though, to feel worthy. And this is what I'm going to be talking a little bit about today. You need to be proud of who you are, regardless of what you've done, because your sense of worthiness is inside your story. So you need to own your story. And it's difficult when you're up against that ideal of what you should have been or should have become. You know, you're probably disappointed that it didn't go the way that you wanted it to go, which leads to you feeling unworthy. So if we don't claim this worthiness inside of our story, we end up looking on the outside. We don't look at our story because we feel ashamed. Who we are and what we believe becomes secondary to who you want to become or what you want to believe. And you lose touch with yourself, with where you're going. You don't live an authentic life. You sort of hide. And that's what I did at the age of 10. I hid my picture in like a box. I locked it away under the bed because that's what I felt in my life at that time. Where are we? So what's in the way then of us feeling worthy? Lots of things, and it will be different for different people. But one very normal one is perfectionism, you know, pretending to putting up an image, you know. Oh, everything is going all right. And God really made the point to me yesterday. You know, Gina, you're not to be perfect. You're not to come and turn up with a PowerPoint. You're not to say that this is all going well. You are to say that actually your PowerPoint crashed and you're just going to share what you have in your heart and be led by my spirit and trust and believe that I am worthy to be speaking. You know, it's this feeling of you're not feeling good enough. Women struggle with competing and conflicting expectations, rejection quite a lot. Men struggle with kind of being perceived as weak or being criticized. So there's different things for women and men. And I read a book about that, Men, Women and Worthiness, that I wanted to finish, but for some bizarre reason didn't work out yesterday. But I think God has a plan. Did you know that the darkness defines your light? Did you know that? It defines you. It's a part of who you are. Often, shame, fear, and vulnerability are the things that get in the way. And the fear we have steals our joy, actually. And shame is the belief that I am bad, I am a mistake, I haven't done well, I'm unworthy of love, acceptance, belonging, and all the rest of it. So the truth about shame, let me just tell you, there's three universal truths about shame. We all have it. We're all afraid of it. And the less we talk about it, the more we have it. It's just the way it is. So if we don't share it, you're just going to feel more shameful and more unworthy. I read this book by Brené Brown, one of my other key role models, and listened to her TED talk on vulnerability. And so I'm just going to share a little bit about what I learned in that, because that's talking about worthiness. In order for connection to happen, we have to allow ourselves to be seen. We have to be vulnerable. The only thing that keeps us out of connection is our fear that we're not worthy of it. We actually numb vulnerability. This is what she found in her research, 6 years of research. We numb it. Like, how often do you ask for help? We find it difficult, don't we, to ask for help. So the problem is that she found is that we can't selectively numb emotion. I believe that Chris Kerr spoke on grief last week. So like grief, shame, and disappointment, you don't want to feel those. You can't numb those feelings without numbing the other. So when you numb those, you numb joy, gratitude, happiness. And what happens is you end up feeling miserable. So you're numbing your emotions. You can't numb and not numb the other. Does that make sense? So why do we do this? Well, we make everything we do certain. Everything has to be certain. The more vulnerable we are, the more fear we feel. We perfect, which doesn't work. We know it, that you can't be perfect. It doesn't work. We pretend what we're doing don't have impact on other people. We're not authentic. We're not living in our own story authentically. So we do those things. We put a face up, you know. So what we need to do is let ourselves be seen and love wholeheartedly, even when there is no guarantee, which is what the gospel preaches, you know, to practice gratitude and joy, believe that we're enough. And this is when we actually start listening and we're kinder to the people around us because we're kinder and gentler to ourselves. So let me speak about wholeheartedness for a minute. Wholeheartedness is kind of like the fruits of the Spirit, really. And this is what you need to do to learn to own your story. To have the courage to tell the story of who you are with your whole heart authentically. Let go of who you should be in order to be the person that you want to be. So to live with intensity, have the courage to be imperfect. To be honest, that's kind of what I'm doing today. I'm just like, oh, I don't know what you're doing, God. I know you're here. I trust you, Lord. So sense of love and belonging depends on your ability to love yourselves and your sense of self-acceptance of who you are. Gratitude and joy is something that we can practice, actually. And I think Gordon touched on this. Practicing gratitude, listening in, noticing what is God doing in your life every single day. If you're thankful for every little thing in your life, this leads to joy, actually. That's what the scripture says. And it's going to make you feel more wholehearted, that you live in authentically. If we can't see past our unworthiness, then how are we ever going to engage with what God has for us? So that is the point, guys. And the truth is what God says is that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. We just don't know. He has amazing plans. So let me end with this then, before I read to you prophetic word that I read in the church here in a few years ago. But the people that have a strong sense of love and belonging believe that they're worthy of love and belonging. Yeah? And who is it that provides us with that everlasting love? Where does it come from? It comes from the Father. So let me read to you just a prophetic word that I had a while ago. I read it in the church 3 years ago, actually. This is what God said to me and to you. Your imperfection is good enough for me. Nothing you bring is too much. I love you with your wrongdoing. You don't need to be perfect, nor are you created to be. You cannot hide the unseeable from me. I don't need you. I want you. I want you to look to me always. Don't let anyone or anything lead you astray. Take my hand. I'm proud of who you are and where you've come. Do not doubt. You're lovable to me. Do not close your heart from me. Stay with me. I will do my works in you, whatever it takes. You will do wonderfully well. You are pieces from the right side of my mind. You are my artwork, and I see the unseeable from the inside out. God sees you, and this is my prayer for Riverside Church. You're a city on the hill, really. Arise and shine to be that city on a hill. So your light, it cannot be hidden. It shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. For he overcame the world. You are set free. You are enough. You are worthy. And this is my prayer for Riverside Church. Amen.